Father, we thank you that we do have a great shepherd of the sheep. We thank you that you have called us to be your sheep. You have chosen to be our shepherd, to be the one who's laid down your life for the sheep. And we pray that because you lead, guide, and protect us, we pray that you help us to keep on following you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it was in March 2014, just nearly 5 years ago, that we publicly launched our Burwood Morning Congregation. So I think it's a great thing. Praise God that we're still here. We're still growing, both in maturity and in number, and the number of people that we're reaching. But God provided a place in Chalmers Street School, which was a small school. We all crowded into a small room and enjoyed praising God together. Then in a number of months later, June 2014, God provided Fitzroy Centre, which was an amazing provision, wasn't it? The mayor himself said, you can use this room, and this council-sponsored room. And it was a great place for us to again, worship God together and to grow together under God's word. But last year, we discovered we had to move out of Fitzroy, and then we went to the Coronation Club. Again, a great provision by God. Coronation Club was actually another great venue, wasn't it? Great provision, great location. We were looked after really well. And now, in May this year, God has again provided. We again found we had to move again out of Coronation Club. And God, I believe in answer to prayer, graciously provided an even better and bigger venue. Here at Christ College. Now, there's no guarantees in life. There's never any guarantees apart from God's faithfulness that we will stay here. But we trust that God will continue to provide for us, and we're looking forward to council approval for us to have a permanent place here at Christ College. So God has always been providing for us. But even more than providing a place for us to meet, which God has done amazingly and graciously, God has been leading us every year of this congregation by His Word. As the Bible is taught, as it's preached each Sunday, mostly by myself, but also by other members of our pastoral team and other members of our those who are student ministers. As the Bible has been taught and preached each Sunday, as we've gathered around God's Word to study it in small groups, as we've opened it up ourselves, as we've met in Bible reading partnerships, God has been leading us by His Word, teaching and guiding and shepherding us. And I want us to be conscious about the fact that as we gather as God's people, as we meet together around His Word, as we open His Word up in our own homes, that this is not just a human activity. It's not just an act of our human wills that we come together. But it is the will and act of God. It is God Himself gathering His people together under His Word, as He speaks to us, as He teaches us, as He reveals Himself to us, and as He calls us to follow Him. As we gather here this Sunday, it is not a mere human activity. It is the work of God as our shepherd, leading and guiding us as we not only sing songs of praise and we praise Him, but as He speaks to us, as the Bible is read and explained, God is making Himself known to us and calling us to follow Him as our shepherd. And it's been a privilege to have been a part of this work over the last 5 years. I've been at pastor here since 2006, and it started as pastor of Burwood Evening Congregation. But it has been a joy to be your pastor. This is not my last Sunday, as we mentioned, but it's my last sermon. So it's worth saying a few things in terms of what I have thanked God for in terms of my role as a pastor. It's been a great joy to see God's work in each one of you, bringing each of you one step further to knowing Jesus, to loving Him, and to serving Him. Some of you here did not know Jesus personally, but have come to know Him first through our ministry here, through people who have invited you. You have first come to know Jesus, and you may still be learning about Him. You haven't taken that step of faith of entrusting your life to Him. But God has brought you here, and you are one step further to knowing Him. The God who made you, who loves you, and who calls you to follow Him. Some of you here may have been stuck in life and struggling in your Christian life and working out where God wants you to be and where He wants you to go. And I've had the privilege of seeing God not only sustain some of you, but also moving you from being stuck to growing and to serving and to serving in ways that you haven't served before. I've seen God not only sustain you in your marriages or in your brokenness or in the loss of family members, but I've seen God grow each of you one step further, serving God with the gifts that God has given you, growing you in your joy in Him, and even using you to bring many others to know Him, to introduce others to Jesus. And the number here in our congregation does not reflect the number who have come through Burwood Morning Congregation or who continue to hear the gospel preached, because there's a number who are in our ECG group, in our Crossroads group, who do not regularly come. There's six people who came to the barbecue yesterday who do not come regularly, but who have been connected to Christians. And that is the greatest joy, isn't it? One of the greatest joy we can have, apart from being saved ourselves, but being used by God to make Jesus known and to offer His salvation to others. There's no greater joy than that, apart from your own salvation, to see others saved. And I pray that that may continue to be our joy and may motivate us to keep serving Him, to keep giving ourselves to Him. And I hope that even as I've been able to see some of your progress, I hope that you yourself can track your own progress. And I hope that you, if you look back in the last 5 years, if you began with us, or whether you've been with us for 1 year or 1 month, can you track the way God has grown you and equipped you in life and in ministry? And if you can, then why don't you thank God? Thank God for leading you, because it is God's work in you, leading and guiding and revealing Himself to you. And if you can't track any progress, because I don't want to assume that all of us can, then let me encourage you to pray that God will reveal how He has worked in your life. Perhaps it may be an opportunity to have your eyes spiritually opened to God's faithfulness to you. Or it may be a time where God needs to reveal to you where you need to turn back to Him. Because in the Christian life, there's only two directions you can go. You can be taking one step further towards obedience and faithfulness and service to Jesus, or you can be drifting one step back. Not necessarily walking back, but drifting one step back. And you need to be aware of which direction you are going, and asking God to reveal Himself to you and lead you as He has given us the Great Shepherd to do. Now, my goal for this last sermon is to entrust you to God and to remind you that He is your Great Shepherd, and that only He can finish the work that He has already started in you. Only God can finish the work that He has already started in you. I still have a few weeks to go. Let me briefly mention that while I'm here, please feel free to make the most of my time. If you want to have a final, if you want to book some time with me, I'm still your pastor, and I still have work to do while I'm here, and I'd love to meet with you. If you want to meet for another time to catch up or to receive any form of pastoral counseling, please book me. I won't have... I'm happy to do that. But I want to entrust you to God in the words of this prayer at the end of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is a letter written as a word of encouragement to urge the Hebrew recipients to persevere in their obedience to Jesus. It's a letter written to urge the Christians, primarily the Jewish Christians that he's writing to. They're tempted to shrink back. They've been discouraged by the pressure of being a Christian. They're pressured by other Jews who are telling them to go back to Judaism. They're discouraged because of persecution that they've experienced. And this whole letter is a letter to urge them to keep persevering, to keep listening to the words of their Great Shepherd. He reminds them in this letter of how we've been given an infinitely better covenant than the old covenant. A new and eternal relationship with God through Jesus. We've been given a great high priest through whom we have direct access to God. We've been given a great sacrifice, a once-for-all sacrifice in the death of God's only Son to make us perfectly acceptable to Him, to provide for full and complete forgiveness for all of our sins. And the one who has been raised now to be our Great Shepherd, the one who continues to live for us and to lead us in this way. And so these are the words of his prayer. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So as this author entrusts the recipients of this letter to God, the first thing he reminds them, and that he reminds us, is that we have a great shepherd. Each one of us have a great shepherd. As sheep, as his sheep, he shepherds over us. And God has raised up, God has powerfully raised up Jesus from the dead to be our shepherd. What does it mean that God has raised Jesus from the dead? Well, he's been talking throughout this letter about God providing a great sacrifice. A great sacrifice to meet our greatest need. The Bible says that all have sinned, as all have rebelled, all have turned our backs on God. All of us, by nature, try to run our own life, our own way without God. And the extent to which we don't know God, the extent to which we don't know we are lost, reflects how far we actually are from God. It's like the swimmer out on the beach, swimming within a raging current, swimming within the rip, unaware that he or she is taking further and further out to sea, enjoying the surf, but completely unaware. And that is how all of us are by nature. Apart from the grace of God, apart from God revealing himself to us and telling us how lost we are, the extent to which we don't know does not reflect the danger that we actually are in. And because God, in his great love, sees our lostness, he sees our rebellion, he knows that according to his justice, sin and rebellion needs to be punished and judged. God, in his love, sent his Son to rescue us by his own death, by dying on the cross in our place, by dying the death that each one of us deserve. For our rebellion against God, Jesus died in our place. And having died in our place, Jesus absorbed the full weight of God's judgment. And having paid for our sin, was able to release us from the penalty of our sin, so that we might be brought and restored, fully restored into a right relationship with God. And so anyone who is a Christian, anyone who is a follower of Jesus, comes only because Christ has died for us, for our sins, to make us right with him. And we've been forgiven, we've been restored, we've been adopted into God's family through God's forgiveness, through the death that Jesus died for us, which is what he means here by the blood that was shed on the cross, on which Jesus died to establish the eternal covenant that we have been brought into, in which God now commits himself to be our God, and we commit ourselves to be his people. And that is the extent of his care and his commitment to us, not only in his death, but now still more in his life. See, God has raised from the dead our Lord Jesus to be the great shepherd of the sheep. See, Jesus is not just the shepherd, he's the great shepherd. And what's being implied here is that there are other shepherds. There are other leaders. God himself appoints human leaders. God himself appoints human shepherds. God appoints human pastors. people who whom God uses to lead and to guide us, but there is only one great shepherd. There's only one shepherd. There's only one pastor, which is what the word shepherd means and the word pastor means. There's only one great pastor. There's only one pastor who will never fail you. There's only one pastor who will never leave you. There's only one pastor whose word you can always rely on. There's only one pastor and shepherd you should always, always follow. There's only one shepherd whose words you should always listen to and obey. You and I have a great shepherd whom God raised from the dead to be our shepherd forever, to lead and guide us through his word. No matter who your human pastor is or which church or congregation you belong to, Jesus is your shepherd. His words are the words you need to listen to. Be conscious of the work that God is doing as you gather around his word. Follow him. Listen to him. Look to him always. Point each other to him. Find your answers. Find the answers to your questions in him through his word. Our tendency is naturally to look to ourselves. It's to be self-sufficient, to protect ourselves. Our natural reaction is to look to wisdom from ourselves or from others, to look to human wisdom to solve our problems, to find pragmatic solutions to our goals and to our needs, to have our felt needs met by our own or others' suggestions or advice or wisdom. But here is the thing that we need to be warned about. Any solution or any advice apart from Jesus leading and guiding us by his word will ultimately fail. Every solution apart from Jesus leading and guiding us through his word will ultimately fail. Whether it's seeking a financial solution or a solution for your relationships, or seeking security and personal achievement or career success, all of these pathways will ultimately fail apart from listening to Jesus. He's the only one who will never fail you. He's the only Father who will never fail us. He's the only pastor who will never fail us. He is the only friend who will never leave us or abandon us. He is the only one who can give you eternal security, unfailing love. He is the only one who can give you the friendship and stability and the comfort you need through the ups and downs of life. More than any other person, you need to believe this. Regardless of how good a friend you have, regardless of how good a husband or wife you have, he is the only one who will never, ever fail you. And so here's the question. If he is your true shepherd, is your great shepherd, will you keep looking to him? Will you keep listening to him? Will you keep finding your satisfaction and your joy in him? Will you be his sheep, even as he is your shepherd? And here is what he will do as you follow him. He will equip you with his word. He will equip you. This is the prayer. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. So this prayer is based on the promise that he will do it as our shepherd. He will equip you as you look to him. He will equip you with everything good for doing his will. He will finish the work that he has started. Again, can you track the progress of your life with God? Or your seeking after God? Can you track how he has worked in your life? Well, here's the promise. What God himself has started, he will finish. He'll bring to completion. And this is one reason why I'm content. I'm thankful to be leaving Grace Point, not because I'm thankful to be leaving you guys, but I'm thankful that I can trust that God himself will finish the work he has started. In fact, none of us ultimately can finish any work. You know, whatever work or project we've been given to do, there's a sense in which there will always be work to do, work to be finished. And we're only one part of the chain of God using us or working in us. But as we leave a job and someone takes it over, especially in the work of building up God's kingdom, all of us are only, in the end, only one part of the work, but God himself, who started it, will finish his work. He himself will equip you with everything that you need to do his will. So this is my prayer for you, that he will equip you with everything good through his word, that he'll work powerfully in you. For what purpose? To do his will. To do his will. That you might live a life that is pleasing to him. That he'll equip you, not primarily with skills and abilities, but he'll equip you with Christ-like character, a desire and willingness to serve him, a deeper satisfaction in him. That he'll equip you in whatever role and responsibility God has given, that you will not find your identity in your role or responsibility, that you'll find, but having found your identity in Christ, that you'll faithfully and joyfully serve God wherever God has placed you. Whether it's as a father or a husband, or as a wife, as a friend or neighbor or worker, whether it's as a leader or a musician or a welcomer or an evangelist, wherever God has placed you, however God has gifted you, may he equip you with everything good to doing his will in service to him, with a goal not ultimately to please yourself, but that your joy might be in pleasing him. You might be satisfied in being faithful to him. not doing this perfectly, but knowing that in all our inadequacy, God is gracious and forgiving, but with the ability that God gives, and with the confidence in the God who gives us that ability. See, it's not a bad thing to feel inadequate. All of us should feel inadequate in many and different ways. None of us are God. None of us are perfect. None of us are free from sin. And Paul himself, the great apostle, was given a thorn in his flesh to remind him of his weakness and his dependence on God. Our inadequacy is good, but it is good in as much as it drives us to a deeper confidence in God. Our inadequacy is good in as far as it drives us to a deeper dependence on God. And this is one thing that I've said in the past, that as God shows me my weakness, that I will more and more rely on his strength. As God continues to show me my weakness, I will rely on his strength. And that's the confidence, you see, that we need to serve him. Not in our abilities, and not focusing, and not being stuck in our inadequacy, but in the adequacy and the ability that God gives to do what he has called you to do. Faithfully, joyfully, and with the wisdom that God gives to serve him. And so I entrust you guys and myself to God, to that great shepherd of the sheep, to finish his work in us and through us, and for his own glory. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, the statement that it is to God's glory, this last part of his prayer, is not just a statement of the goal of the Christian life. It's not just our goal to glorify God, though it is. But what underpins it is this, that it's a statement of the worthiness of God for our lives, to glorify him. So God is worthy of our complete worship. He created you. He died for you. He's raised up a shepherd for you. He continues to lead you. And because of all that he is, he sustains you. Even as he sustains every part of this immense universe, God sustains you. God leads you. God equips you. And he's worthy of your worship. He's worthy of your obedience. He's worthy of you following him wherever he takes you. Whatever it costs you. Whatever he gives you, or whatever he takes away, God is worthy of your trust and of your absolute obedience. And he's worthy of mine also. So to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let me pray. Father, you alone are worthy of our worship. And we, your people, are so unworthy to be called your people. We're unworthy to be your sons and daughters. We're unworthy to be your sheep. And yet, Lord, it reflects the extent of your glory to show such love to people like us. And Lord, we pray that we would ever be grateful that you've called us to be your people. That you've forgiven us of our sins. That Christ has died for us. That you have given us your Son to be our great shepherd. So, Lord, equip us and work in us what is pleasing to you for your glory forever and ever. Amen.